was describing this, or referring to the Klal Yisrael, that they said they're going to divide our clothing. They will divide our clothing for them. V'alavushi upon my garment, yapilu, they cast in goyrol. What does that mean exactly? Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit on this one pasuk. On this one pasuk, Mitzvah Stavit on page. On page 200, doesn't really say very much. Yechalku mafshitim elai v'cholkim b'neihem. They take off my clothing. This, you know what this really sounds more like? It sounds like Yosef. Yosef, they threw him into the pit, they stripped him naked, and they took the kesonis pasim. But they didn't go and, to the best of our knowledge, they did not take the kesonis pasim and for themselves. Instead, they dipped it in blood. They dipped in the blood of the so'ir to present it to their father. Hakerno, recognize. But Yichalku, he learns over here, mafshitim.
But
okay.
It's also a reference to Esther.
Esther, why Esther reference?
In fact, I just happened to learn this morning.
What do you mean it's a reference to Esther? Why?
When she entered the palace
without
authorization.
Yes.
Listen to me for a second.
Levushi from Busha.
He doesn't see you. He doesn't see you.
To cover Busha.
Yeah. Okay, what's it?
So when she entered the palace unauthorized, people around there were just, all right, she's going to get it. And let's see, who's going to get her robe? Who's going to get her jewelry? Who's going to get it? And so on and so
Fantastic.
forth.
Fantastic. Wow. So that's the shot. So Rabbi Chol is saying from the Medrash that when Esther entered into the Chatzar HaPnimis, all of her enemies, they all said, ah, now she's dead. Now she will be executed, and we will split, we'll divide the spoils. This one will get her garment, this one will get her headband, this one will get her shoes. They were very happy that she was putting herself at risk to die. She had enemies. But see, that's interesting, because you're saying that she had enemies in the palace. You would think that everyone said, Esther Yirak Rakoisa. Chazal said everyone loved her. So you're saying there was some jealousy.
Maybe the public.
Interesting.
But on the inside,
never heard this before. He's saying that it says
it's not even necessarily anti-Semitism.
Jealousy, just rivalry.
Leakers.
Sorry.
They leaked in the palace. They leaked.
Who leaked? You want to hear all the conspiracy theories? Who leaked it? I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
This conspiracy theory is poison. It can literally poison your mind. You can actually believe some of these things. Okay. So it says over here. In the Mitzudos. Next, Aluv Ushi Kavod Lev Miloshonis. It's a quite a competition. Rashi, V'Aluv Ushi Yapil Garol Boiz Zimes Nichaseinu. Rashi learns it more metaphorically. It refers to going to divide our assets. Let's look at the Radak. The Radak over here. It's really a little bit hard to get a better taste of what is the deeper meaning here of what they're trying to do to Esther. In the Radak on page 201, Yechalku v'dai lochem, yikhu mo monenu v'yigia kapenu ad shafil v'godenu. So he's adding a little bit of a perish. He's saying, because this already said in the previous pasuk. In the previous pasuk, when we said over here, they're going to take all our assets. We mentioned this before, but here he means to say, ad kidei kach, they'll take every last thing, even our clothing. And indeed, in the Holocaust, they did that. They actually did that. They took every last thing. The Nazis took every last thing from the Jews, and they tried to profit off it. So here, the Radak, some of these little words in the Mefarshim open up a world of commentary. One more time on page 201 in the Radak, Pasuk Yites Yichu Momonenu V'Yagia Kapenu Ad. Sha'afilu bigodeinu ulevusheinu yichalku. Even our garments they will divide. Vichu lohem yapilu goyrolam alehem. They will cast a lottery on our clothing. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. I don't really find anything more. Something needs a little bit deeper to understand what's going on over here. Maybe we'll see. Pasuk Chaf. The next pasuk says ve'ato Hashem al tirchok. Again, now this pasuk Chaf really goes back to the beginning of the Mizmar. Until now, the Mizmar vacillates, and mainly it starts with a plea of desperation, and then that was the beginning, and then she went into some details, and now we are returning to the beginning of the Mizmar. The beginning of the Mizmar begins with the famous words, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani. I don't even know if I said that grammatically correctly, if that's the correct way to pronounce it, because I do remember it's a very strange pronunciation, which most of us don't pay much attention to, and we do it wrong. We like to say 2 mil L's, Kaylee, Kaylee. But you know something that's not correct, at least according to what it says in our Nusach, Kaylee, Kaylee. Okay, the first one is Milra, and the second is Mil'el, which is a bit very difficult because you almost never ever, it violates the laws of grammar to have a double syllable of two different words. There's always a pause, and that's what's called Nesoig Ochor.
Well,
here we're not doing anything. Kaylee, Kaylee.
Wait a minute. If what? You put a comma between the two.
But there is no comma.
But you could.
There'll be a psik. If there was a comma, there'll be a psik. The way the Torah, the Masorah creates a comma is a vertical line. There's no vertical line here. So that even if it would be really Kaylee, Milara, you would put the emphasis on the second, on the end, Kaylee, and then the next word is Kaylee. So the rule is, if the next word is a Mila L, you automatically force the previous word to push its emphasis to back one syllable.
Which so you is Kaylee Kaylee?
The first pasuk, the second pasuk base.
Page 190.
Everyone that I've ever heard say this, every inspirational speaker that has got up in front of a pulpit and quoted this pasuk, including Rabbi Yevsky, who's the world-renowned expert. I would assume, Kaylee Kaylee Lama Azavtani. Rabbi, you're wrong. Rabbi, it's Kaylee Kaylee. Those guys, they make you crazy. Zek Kaylee, right? Those guys, they really know how to rip into you. Leave me alone. Maskil, you're going to chop me on the TikTok.
This week's Sedri, you have 8 words in a row, Mil'el.
8 words, Mil'el? Which pasuk?
With the Hin Sedik, Eifat Sedik, Hin Sedik, you know.
Wow, that's a good trivia question. Wow.
Eight words
okay.
In a row.
Moshe would know that in a second. Moshe will know that in 1 second.
That was my own. I just hit me one time, and I think it's a good trivia.
Very good. Listen, I don't know this. This is something very good to look into. This, the Pasuk Beis, why is it a Milera and then a Mila'el? L'chora, this violates the law of Nesoig Ochor. Okay, we need a real expert. Put this up on the chat, on the Baal Kriya chat. See what they say about this. In any event, we're going now back. That was a diversion. We're going now back to the beginning of the pasuk.
The chat during Korea.
No, there's a fantastic chat on WhatsApp for Bale Diktuk, Bale Kriya, who discuss these very, very fine details about Kriya Satara. And some of them are incredible Talmidei Chachamim, and they know their stuff, and they know that's the boy, and they have some very lively discussions. Many of them, like you said, are Lubavitch. Lubavitch is not their thing, yet these people, a lot of them are Lubavitches. In any event, we're now going back to the beginning of the theme of the Mizmor, Pasuk Chav, V'yato Hashem al Tircha, do not distance yourself from me, Eyolusi le'ezrosi chush. This beautiful...
Play the word Ayolus,
maybe. Ayolus HaShachar, right. Okay. It's a play on this, it's a play on the word, Eyolusi le'ezrosi chush. We had this before. We had in the beginning of the Mizmar this expression, and here it appears again. This is a very, very beautiful expression. A Yolusi here and there. They can be translated in different ways. We read in Farshim. It means my strength to my salvation hasten. You know, only in Hebrew can you know in English you can't translate these words in order. Impossible. It's swiftly my strength. Quickly come to my aid. In English, you would have to put the word chusha in between, in the middle, between the word eyalusi, chusha le'ezrasi, but that doesn't sound so good in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it sounds much more poetic when you put the word chusha at the end. Okay, this is a typical example.
It would rhyme better if you did.
Eyalusi chusha le'ezrasi, maybe just so.
Yeah, I'll hear eyalusi, and then chusha.
No, so you're putting the comma after Ayolusi. Okay, all right, I hear what you're saying, but the typical way it's used is with this is plagiarized. Many writers, they or the speakers, they take these three words and they embed it in a sermon, in a drasha, in some writing, Yolusile Ezrasi Husha. It's a very popular expression. In English, you can't translate the words in order. It means my God or my strength quickly, swiftly come to my salvation.
Of course, he puts comma
where? Al Tirchok and Yolusi?
Strength.
But not after Al Tirchok.
It's a call to my strength.
In other words, he puts a comma after Al Tirchok. V'ato Hashem Al Tirchok, period. Hashem, do not distance yourself from me, period.
Yeah,
next
yeah,
statement.
Or semicolon.
Fine, now comes a new clause. Yolusi Le'ezrosi Husha. That's one expression. Okay, look at the material.
It's a call to
Lucy. To my God, to my strength. Let's see the mitzudos tzion first. Okay, the mitzios tzion, honor of Yom Atzmut tzion. What does it say over here? Ayelusi in koyach.
Yeah.
The Oymei Tzion learns the word Ayelusi to mean power. Kemo kigever ein ayol a gever.
Elaim Moav.
The mighty of Moav. Okay, so that is interesting. That is an interesting translation. The word that it means Eyalusi Miloshon, strength. Okay, let's see where the Mitzvah is David.
And again, linked to Esther and her prayer.
Kaili Lama Azafan. It's going back to the beginning.
The Ayelis
Ashachar. So
praying to, for strength from the There's
a Lashon Neufel Al Lashon, where you're taking this Aleph Yud Lamed and using it in multiple forms.
It's the trigger.
It's a trigger, right? That's the theme. Lamatzeach al ayeles hashachar. Aleph yud lamed. And then there is eyalusi li ezrasi. And there is keli. This word appears again and again. And by the way, before you go further, this is an extremely, there's a lot of significance in this for one week, because this word, aleph yud lamed, it really represents Klal Yisrael. Why? Yitz Avraham was given the command to Kachnos Binchas Yichitchas Shorhaftos Yitzchak Vechaaleu Lo'ila. Bring it up. And what happened at the end? Vayikra Oilav Malach Lekim Ben Hashem Vayomer Al Tishlach Yodcha El Hanar Yal Taas Eloi Mu'uma. And then Vayiso Eino Vayar Vihinei Ayol. Ayol, which is a behema, not the ayol, which is a cousin to the tzvi. Vine ayol, kama, achar nechaz basvach bekarnav. So what does that mean exactly? The ayol was the replacement, so that Yitzchak can live. Yitzchak is Klal Yisrael. From Yitzchak comes Klal Yisrael. And because Avraham was only able, in one way of looking at it, to release Yitzchak and allow Yitzchak to develop and turn into Klal Yisrael, because he had a replacement. And the replacement was the Ayil. Aleph Yud Lamed. The Ayil represents to a degree that Klal Yisrael will go on. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishake. When Klal Yisrael is in trouble, when we're in trouble in Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks the Ephroi shel ayil tzavur lefanav. Avraham, he took that ayil, he slaughtered it, he brought it as a carbon. Ephra shall Yitzchak. It says it's shall ayil. Ephra shall Yitzchak, which is the ayil. Ephra shall Yitzchak, but there is no Ephra shall Yitzchak. It's the ayil.
Ayil is
bimkoim. So, and that is tzavur lefanav. It's continuously piled before Hashem, and Hashem looks at that Ephra, and Hashem forgives Klal Yisrael. So it's a constant reminder of the sacrifice that Klal Yisrael has made for Hashem. Avraham Avinu, he put into Klal Yisrael the Mesiras Nefesh to give up your life for Hashem. Isn't that exactly what Esther did? When Esther went into Achashverosh, the Chasher Avaditi Avaditi, Esther was put herself in the position of Avraham Avinu. The chashavarati avodati. I mean, I'm going into the chutz aprimis, a mokam asher lo yik. I was not called. I can die in an instant. Number two, even if I succeed in the best scenario, if I succeed, I'm now avadati avodati. The same way I lost my mother and my father, now I'm going to lose my husband. I'm not going to be able to marry to Mordechai anymore. I'm not going to be able to have children from Mordechai. I'm going to have children instead from this Shegetz, Achashverosh.
Or die in the attempt.
Or die. So I'm totally, no matter, the best scenario and the worst scenario, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm toast. She gave up her life. She was Moisim, she gave up her life. Who's the one that put into her DNA, the Koyach, to be Moisim Nefesh Tashem, to give everything up? Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, the Akedah. Vayisayna vayar vihine ayil. That is the Gemar of the Akedah, the ayil. Eyolusi leezrosi chusha. Keili keili loma azavtani. Lamatseach al ayele sashachar. All of these words are all taking us back to the makor of the Koyach of Esther, of Vayisayna vayar vihine ayil. Because that aisle became the symbol. Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah is the keren of that aisle. The Shofar Shal Mashiach is the keren of that aisle. Okay, the Gidin were the chords of the harp of David HaMelech. Every single part of that aisle, Chazal say, every part of that aisle was used in history for another revelation, another purpose in bringing of Mashiach, the aisle. Aleph Yud Lamed, the aisle. And that aisle over here is being presented, alluded to over and over again in this Mizmor, Yolusile Ezrasi Husha. Now let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudas David on page 200. Yolusi Ato Yu Hashem Choskiyo, my strength, Maher Le Ezrasi, swiftly, come quickly to my aid. It's also, you know, very interesting, the word maher, I always like to focus on this, is that the number 9-11, what became the word of the year, 9-11? It was actually the word of the year. Word of the year, whoever decides on these nonsense things, ground zero. 9-11, a year after 9-11, they came, whatever it was, what's the word of the year? Ground zero. What was the word of the Holocaust? The word of the Holocaust summarized 6 years of Churban Shmel. Exactly. Shmel. The Nazis, that was the Shmel, quick. That was part of the terror. Blitzkrieg. Part of the terror. Don't give people time to think. Quick. Shmel, that's a very, you see, lockdown, this was not good. You know why? Because in lockdown, people had a lot of time to think. These last two years,
especially the mothers,
people went out of their mind. They lost their mind. Why? And because they had too much time to think.
Right.
You sit at home, and you don't do it. You're like, what's life all about?
Dwelling on their misery.
Normally, life is all about distractions. Just don't think about life. Just go through it. You go through it. You go here, you go there. People, mostly the whole week goes by. You have to have a second to think. You know, I used to go to. I found this to be so true. I told you before, when I used to go to Shir years ago, and there were certain Shirurim, I literally did not understand one word the Rebbe said, not one word. I'm a hostage. You have to go to the yeshiva. Yeah, you have to go there. It's kedai. It's, you know, you have to make sacrifice in life. The other benefits of being where I was, it was worthy to devote a 45 minutes, an hour a day to go sit in, in college also. And many professors, I didn't understand a word they said. I need the credits to learn everything on you. You have to learn, exactly. You learn the material on your own. You have a book and you learn the material. You take the tests. You have to come to class. No, it's torture, but you have to come. And then I can't wait until the torture is over. And then finally, Vayihi Hayom, finally a free bird. And then I was able to use that time for whatever I wanted. And this happened to me many times in life. And I look back and I said, I miss those days. For one very simple reason. during that time when I went to class or went to class or whatever in college or in yeshiva, I used to think. You would sit around for 45 minutes, an hour, and just think about life. What's the purpose of all this? And then when I no longer had that time, you don't think. You just busy with narishkeit or with good things, whatever it is, good things, not good things. You just distract yourself the whole day. And that's what really most people do their whole life. They just, because if they had to sit down and think about what is this all about, they can go meshuggah. They can lose their mind. And in the Nazis, they did not give the Jews the time to rebel. They did not allow them to rebel. How? They did terrible things. Number one, they starved them to death. By starving a person, all you do, you think about food the whole day. You don't have time to think about how to rebel, how to escape. And number two is schnell. You don't have time. We're not giving you time to think how you're gonna run away. Schnell. These last 2 years, a lot of people went meshuggah because they sat home and they had too much time on their hands. And they just thought about things. And it's not necessarily so good. A lot of people that I know, I saw them after. They had these long beards. It's wild hair. Wild, crazy. Like, I know the mom, she looked like a hippie. Wild, long hair. Long beards. Crazy clothing. They sat in their pajamas for a whole year. Locked up in their basement. Yeah, and like, you know, they came out of this. You know, it took a long time to come back into societies.
Does that feel the world? A lot more suicides. You know, you've heard that. A lot more suicides.
It was very, very frightening. In the Holocaust, it was schnell. Over here, we have the word chusha. The story of Purim, as we mentioned, has many parallels. There are many parallels. Lahashmid, laharig, la'abedis, kol ha'yehudim, yinavi, arzaki, taf, noshav, yom echad. Schnell. It was b'yom echad. The story of Purim was The plan of Haman. Haman was a genius. He knew exactly what he was doing, calculated with precision, and it was biyoyim echad. It was not going to be a long, protracted. The whole thing is going to be done in one day. Shnel, biyoyim echad. Mida keneged mida, eser is mispalel chusha, chusha. We need your help. Mida keneged mida. They're trying to harm us in a moment. We're asking you, Zelu Mazer, Yolusile Ezrosi Chusha. Look at the Mitzvah Stavit, Atochoski Maher Li Ezrosi Chusha, swiftly. Okay, but let's take the next part. The next part says, it's Hatzlenya, and now we have the famous part of the dog. Here is where she calls Achashverosh, a dog. Hatzila Mecherev Navshi, save my neshama from the sword. Miad Kelev, from the Kelev Yechidosi. This is a very important word. Yechidasi means my neshama. There are many words for neshama. Neshama, nefesh, ruach. I don't know all the words. I forget what kanshu, we have all the five candles. But one of the words is...
The ranchai is nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaye,
yechida. Yechida. Chaya, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya.
The ranchai.
Chaya, yechida. Yechida. Where does the word yechida come from? This pasuk. Yechidasi. Esther over here is describing her, save my neshama. This word nafshi, which is in parallel to the word yechidasi, yechida, which is an awesome revelation of what is a neshama. The same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike, and no two people have the same neshama. Every neshama is unique. And the neshama itself is called yechidasi. That's an incredible phenomenon. I mean, isn't it an amazing thing? How many billions of people existed in the world since the time of creation? From the time of creation, how many people? Almost, I don't know, no one really knows. No one has a number. If in this world right now, they tell us there are 7.5 billion people. Okay, that's an approximation. No one really knows, has an exact number. But the estimate in the world, there are 7.5 billion people. Okay, in the world, so how many, every generation, you have to go through the whole history of the world. How many people have existed from creation until this point in time? I don't know what they're, but it's a big, big number. And can you imagine it never happened that two people looked alike? Can you imagine such a thing? Who can do such a thing like this? cool that not there's not there was not even two people that look the same. Every person is unique. It's an incredible phenomenon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone is a yechida. Everyone has a unique purpose. Now they talk about, there's some, you know, the conspiracy theory people, the people that they talk about these unknown entities that are trying to depopulate the world. Okay, I'm talking about the conspiracy. So it's why would you want to depopulate the world? Every person is a yechida. Every person is unique. There's a uniqueness to every single neshama in this world. To go say, oh, there are too many people, none of your business. But forget about none of your business. Forget about being none of your business. The concept of how could you say there's redundancy in this world? How could a person say we don't need so many people? It's just pollution. So many people. Pasuk says, Yechidosi. Every neshama in this world has what to offer. Has what to offer is unique, is a yochid. And I'm sure you know that there's a famous story about a, I don't know the name, the people, the inspirational spirits, they always give you the details, the really good details. And they tell you about it was a conductor, a very, very famous.
Toscanini.
What's his name?
Toscanini.
Toscanini?
Arturo Toscanini.
How do you say it again? Hoskinini?
Toscanini?
Toscanini?
Yeah.
So he was, what was he, a musician?
He was a conductor.
Conductor. And he was, someone went to visit him. You can't come on this day because I'm going to listen on the radio to a performance, to an orchestra, a famous world-renowned orchestra. So don't come on this day. Come the next day. So he comes the next day and the person says, how was the performance? How, he says, it was horrible. So he says, what was wrong? So he says, how many people in the orchestra? 100, whatever, maybe 100 people. So he said, they were missing some. One violinist was missing. So this, come on, how could you, on the radio, on an FM radio, you can tell that it was missing one violinist from 100? You can tell? He says, yeah. There was one violinist missing.
He didn't believe me.
He didn't believe me. He went and he did research and he was right. How did he know? When you're trained, when you're talented, you're a pro, you know. So this is an inspirational speech. I've heard this many, many times in many different people, in all different events, is that the Ribbono Shel Olam has an orchestra in this world, and the orchestra is every member of this world, and there's even one person missing, it's not the same. And this pasuk is the makar, really is the makar for this principle. Yechidasi, every neshama is unique. It's a yachid, irreplaceable. Look at the mitzvahs, David. Very good, Mr. Look really first in the mitzvahs.
Shama is chelek me'elokam ima'al, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echad yachid u'miyuchad. So Shama is also yechidati.
I once saw, this was very fascinating to me. I once saw, with computer models, today, I don't know if you know, you're on your phone, it's scary. They take every picture that you have, without even asking you, Google does, even without asking you, every picture you have on your phone, Google focuses on the face and creates just the image of the face. And you can actually search. I needed a picture or something, a video, and I couldn't find it. And I was able to find a picture of that person, and I did a search, use this tool. I did a search on my phone, and Google found every single image of that person in an instant. It's unbelievable, the technology that's out there. But I once saw a number of years ago where in some university, they took millions and millions of images of people from all over the world, and through a computer model, they morphed all the images of everyone all over the world into the common denominator. Every single image was like summarized, was turned into an average. They take a million or millions of images, and they overlay one on top of the other until they bring out what the perfect man will look like?
Me.
You have competition. Mayor already thought it was thinking it was him.
I'm a nebus. I have a nebus.
And what's so shocking is, you would think that when you take millions of images of a people and you find the common denominator, you think you'll be looking at a movie star, the most beautiful person in the world. It is so boring. The picture you look at is such a plain, boring picture. You would think a child in kindergarten, you wrote a sketch with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. It's shocking. You can probably find this online. It is shocking how pedestrian, boring, what the person looks like. When you take the whole world and morph him into one person, it's like you wouldn't give him a second look. Boring. Like, what makes man unique is the taka. Every single person is a little different. And that creates that excitement in life, that spice, and that uniqueness, every single person. Because if you have just bring everything together into the common man, it's just, I'm not the only one to have that reaction. Everyone that looks at the picture of this, the conclusion of this study, which is not a big deal to do today, okay, it's not a big deal to go and take millions of pictures and just have an algorithm to summarize them into the perfect person. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly the purpose of creation. Everyone brings to the table yichidasi. Look at the mitzudos tzion, yichidasi, nishmasi. A neshama is called yichidasi, shehi yichida mul chelkei haguf. Now he says over here it's yichida relative to the part of him. He's saying a little bit differently when I told you. I'm surprised he actually says like this. Maybe he's saying more pshat. He's not saying that every neshama is unique. He's saying that relative to the body, the neshama, the life element of a person, stands apart. That's how he's learning. He's learning that the neshama, there are many different things which make up a person's existence. And one thing that makes up his existence is the neshama. He has a physical body, and there are many parts to that physical body with many different components and strengths and weaknesses. And there's also the neshama. The neshama is priceless, it stands apart. It's unique relative to the evarim of the physical portions of the person. That's what he's saying al derech pshat. But obviously al derech drush, what I told you, that's not all my var, that's everyone says the same thing, is the word yechida means every neshama relative to another neshama, to someone else's neshama, is unique. Okay, so let's go over here. Nishmasi shalom mulchalki haguf v'koychosav v'chein mikifirim yichidasi. From the lions, this one is unique. This is okay. Let's see. This is David. The mitzudah is David says miad kelef. Who's the kelef? Who here is the kelef? Meharasha hanoshech, the wicked man that is noshech ki kelef. Okay, ani ki. Now, by the way, the kelef. Now, we're referring to the Purim story. The Persians, Achashverosh was a Parsi. The Parsoyim are compared to two creatures,
yes.
Bears, a dove, and dogs. These are their two creatures. What do bears and dogs have in common? Nothing. But not that I'm aware of. Maybe there is some relationship. Maybe. Is there some relationship?
It's either the dove or the zebra.
Who's that?
For us, it's either the dove,
a bear, or a wolf.
Red. The actual word is Dave, so it's either Aramaic for dove or Ze'ev.
Okay, but also a dog. I told you this medrash. You're not going to believe me. I have it over here in the Oitze Pilois, and he cites that there is definitely a relationship between the dog and Paras, the Persians. The Persians. Now, first of all, the Chazal tells us explicitly in the Beis Hamikdash, the fire that was burning on the Mizbeach had the image of a dog. In the Bayis Rishon, the Tzur, there was an Esh, it was an Esh Min HaShemayim, whatever this means. There was an Esh, a fire from heaven that appeared in the Bayis Rishon. The Esh Min HaShemayim and the Bayis Rishon looked, whatever that means, look, you can see it, I don't know what it means, like a lion. Now, Chazal said there was no Eish Menash Shemaim in the Bayis Shenis. I don't know exactly in which context.
There's the term Ariel.
Ariel. Holy Ariel. Ariel is the Ali, the Beis Hamidosh is called a lion.
Wasn't the shape
like a lion.
Yeah.
Narrow in the front, wide in the back. Wide in the front and narrow in the back. Wide in the front and narrow in the back. The ulam was very wide in the front, and they're narrow, relatively speaking, narrow in the back. Ariel, Hoy Ariel, the Bayis Rishon was called a lion. The Bayis Sheni was called a dog. Now why? Because I don't know what this means. There was some supernatural appearance of the Shechina that had the tsura of a dog. Why? What is this all about? So Chazal say, who built the Bayis Rishon? Shlomo and David. They, what are they called? Gur Aryeh, Yehuda. Yehuda is a Gur in the Birchus Yaakov. Yehuda is a Gur Aryeh, a lion. A lion. Memela, his signature, the signature of Yehuda appears in the Mikdash. Hoy Ariel. It's called the Ariel. In the Bayis Sheni, who paid for the Bayis Sheni? Verdos hot the Meir hot the Deir. Misha Yeshle Meir Yeshle Deir. Who's the Balabas? It's all about money. Hakesef Ya'anes Akol. Who paid the bills? The Persians, the Paras. Koresh gave permission to build and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But eventually, when was it? It was built later by Dayovish. Haparsi, they paid the bills. When you came to the Beis HaMikdash, they had the flag of Persia. Can you imagine going to the Beis HaMikdash today and you see the American flag and you walk in? That's what it would be. They know. Trump says, you want to build a temple? Build a temple! Who's stopping you? That was the most powerful thing he ever said his whole life. Trump, and they shut him up so fast. Boy, did they call, they shut him up after he says, you want to make World War III? Say it again. Say that one more time, we'll have World War III. He said, make the, we have over here, they show him the shrine. You know, Trump Towers cost a lot more than what the Beis HaMikdash would cost. And you can go build a resort, Mar-a-Lago cost a lot more than what it would cost to build the base. The base is not all that big. The Temple Mount is not considered in today's standards such a big piece of property.
Doesn't have a golf course.
MetLife, Met Stadium is probably 30, 40 times the size of Temple Mount. I mean, you know, how big is this shul? Is probably bigger than the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not joking. How big is the Beis HaMikdash already? It's not how big. So this is the temple? You want to go build a temple? You've waited 2,000 years to build a temple? Go build a temple. Here it is. What's the problem? I brought you the embassy to Jerusalem. Nothing happened. The world didn't come to an end. So build a temple. You pay off the, they pay off the Arabs. Give them a couple of bucks. They'll be very happy. For money, you can buy anything. Even a sunny betza. You can buy anything for money. That's what Imamish said. When Imamish said that in public. You want to build a temple? Go build a temple. And they told, his advisors told him, you know, you're a loose cannon. You talk like that. You have over here a billion Muslims.
But his instincts were good.
No, 100%. His instincts are very good. A billion Muslims that will die al Kiddush Hashem before that will happen. Pay them off. For Kesa, if you give them enough money, they'll be very happy. You're very happy, exactly, 100%. Trump was really right, it's amazing. Chutzpah goes a long way. So, if that would happen, so what would be? When you come to Temple Mount, there would be a flag, the American flag, no? But how do you know there would be an American flag on the steps up to the Beis HaMikdash? How do you know I'm saying this should be the flag of the United States of America? Because in the Bayis Sheni, that's exactly what there was. Sha'ar Shushan Habira. You walked up the steps to come to the Beis HaMikdash. What did you go through? You come to the gate of Shushan Habira. Oh, who's Shushan Habira? And you can imagine their logo, multimedia presentation. What do you think it was? Was it just a plow to plaque? I'm sure it was a lot more than a plaque. Who paid for this? Who paid for this? Who gave you rishus? no different. So that's exactly why it was, there was a dog.
I'm sure the Greeks didn't keep that flag.
There was a dog that appeared in the tzura of a dog that appeared in the Bayis Sheni, because the dog refers to the ones who paid for it, and that was the Persians. And the Persians, for some reason, are compared to a dog. Now, why they compare it to a dog? I told you this before. People didn't like it. I got a very bad reaction, but I have it in print for you. It's because the Persians, you have to go back to the original history, the ancient history of Malchut Paras. And ancient history was, there was a kingdom, probably was a third world nation, and there was a prince, the successor to the king, and one day he disappeared. He was abducted. He disappeared, and he was thrown to the forest. And a dog found the prince in the forest. And the dog heard, the dog basically raised this infant, this baby, took care of him, brought him food. And Machol, again, he's shaking, he doesn't like this. It's a medrash.
I don't know where you found it.
I got over here on the shelf over here. In the Oitzer Pillow Oitz by Rabbi Zichronin. Rabbi Zichronin. I have to show you word for word it says that. This is what it says in this medrash. It's obscure medrash.
It sounds like
fairy tale.
Plagiarism of the
I hear.
Romulus and Remus.
Okay.
Which does appear in the medrash.
I'm not denying the bizarre nature, but he has good stuff. He doesn't play games. All of his stuff is solid stuff. He's just telling, take your time. And this dog raised this child, and by Yehi Hayoyim it was discovered, and they went and they were mechabed this dog. They brought the dog to the palace, and they gave the dog tremendous covered. After they talk, when the dog died, they gave it a royal funeral and a royal burial crypt with a matseva. And because of that, people were the malchus, and this child became the king. He was the successor to the throne. He was the heir to the throne, and he became the king. And because of that, a dog took on a significant symbol of the nation of Paras. Supposedly it says this in the encyclopedia books. It says this is ancient history of Persia. And therefore...
A wolf?
A zeev?
Yeah.
So
that's what I said before.
He says a wolf. He says he was a dog. And that's why over here, Miyad Kelev Yechidasi, Esther also refers to him as a dog. She calls Achashverosh not because, as an insult. You see, we're very vulgar today, and we say she called him a dog. Okay, we walk in the street, you call someone, they call Jews, no Jews and dogs allowed. We all know that song, right? No Jews and dogs allowed. So we look at a dog, we say a dog, we use it as a vulgar, nasty insult. But that is not... That's not what you think. Do you think that David HaMelech would record vulgar talk? Do you think David HaMelech would stoop to the lowest elements of society and write into him in a holy work? That's what Ruach HaKodesh, he would write like that. He would say curse words and say nasty things. Come on, that's not a responsible way to look at Sefer Tehillim and David HaMelech. When David says Kelev, there's something very deep about saying the word Kelev. And he's saying that when Esther called him Kelly because that is something that was an identification of the nation of Paras. And if the king of Paras, Achashverosh, is the leader, so he's the dog. He indeed is
top dog.
You have also the Shegel. The Shegel with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a sword, what is a Shegel? So they say it's the queen. Right, the queen, not the queen. So, okay, someone
a female dog.
Exactly. He had a dog that he lived with. He had a dog that he lived with. Now it doesn't. So some say it's the queen. Some say no, he mamish. He had a dog, a female dog. Shegel is the modern term for that word, three letter word that means the letter S, and it represents he was kulataiva. He was lohot. kula taiva, one shtick of taiva, that he had the object that he has sitting next to him is an object of kula taiva. That's what they were. All right, so here we have over here the kelim, we have kelim v'chidasi. So therefore, she's saying, save my neshama from the kelim. Pasik, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Eyalusi koichi. Okay, so Rashi disagrees. Rashi, the Mitsugo said, they say the same thing. They say the koichi, my strength. He says choski, says koichi. Kumo hoyisi kegever ein eyal. I'm again, we had it before, but kumo yesh le'el yodi. My favorite pasik. Lavan. Lavan says, there is power to my hand. All right, this is Rashi. It's a very important. We're going to go look over here at some of the Mepharshim, and they touched the word Eyalusi le'ezrasi. Next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph in the Mitzudos David. There is. We already did that. Yeah, Rasha. Look, see Rashi. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. There is no Rashi. What is it in the Radak? Look at the Radak for a moment. The Radak on page 201. Hatzila mecherev knafshi mecherev hagolus, from the cherev, the sword of Golos. One second over here. We have some.
Looking ahead.
David is writing the Ruach HaKodesh from the sword of Golos. Shloi esafeh beGolos. The Jewish people should not disappear in Golos. Kelev, the Aryeh Re'em. He is a very important Radak. He's telling us what we have over here in this Mizmor, different words. We have a lion, we have a Re'mim, the Re'mim, not a Re'mim, Re'mim. It's the name of a creature. What is that creature? I have no idea what it is. Some.
Well, it's not the Re'im.
Calls it a wild oxen.
Wild oxen?
That's how he translates it.
Okay. And we have the word, Akel, three words in this Mizmor. Humashal, this is a mashal al malchei umos olam asher anachnu begolus b'nehem v'chol echol lefi gidulasei koriyoso. Each one has a unique term is associated with his name. V'chidasi hu haneshama shehi yechida. It is unique. Shechenes bevatei choymer v'ein doim elah. There's no comparison to it. Ki hanefesh hamisaveh hi aguf. The nefesh hamisaveh hi aguf. Okay, what does that mean? The nefesh that's as a desire is the body. Okay, different terms for the neshama, whatever he means by this. What does the Malbum say? This is a very important part. We'll see what the Malbum here says. Hatzilu mechav nafshi, back chof aleph. On the bottom of the page, page 201, Hatzilu mechav nafshi, mechedev hatzayodim, v'miyad hakal behem, Hatzilu yechidasi, ritzim olem ha'adav ha'shachad ha'echad sh'nishal li, achad sh'sholchu li, kol asher li, v'chay ha'nefesh. Beautiful, you're saying that the neshama you can never take, you can never harm. All of our enemies, they can take away the guf, but they can never touch the neshama. All right, let's go to the next pasuk chaf beis. Hoshi'eni bipi aryeh. So again, here's the other and other animals. First, the kelev, that is the aryeh. Mikarni, the horns of Remim, of these wild creatures. Ani sani, answer me. Mitsudois David. Ani sani halom ve'olam anisali ve'hatzileinu mechosek umos lozecha shigamat. In the past, I made a mistake. Correct. Ani sani, you have answered me, and just as you have answered me in the past, there's no reason why it should be different now. Halom ve'olam anisali lehatzileinu mechosek umos lozecha shigamat. Save me now as well. Rashi, Hoshina, Mipi Arya Kasher, Mikarne Re'imim Ani Sani, save me from the mouth of the lion. So here we have this, we have the Minchas Erev. He already explained, he quoted the Chazal. Esther in Pasuk Chaf Aleph starts off by calling Achashverosh a dog. And then she realizes, you know, maybe that's not respectful. So I have Charota, I'm doing Teshuvah, I'm going to call him now an Aryeh, a lion, and I'll call him the horns of the Re'imim, which is respectful. These two terms are referring to the king as a lion, and Achashverosh, who has horns of the Re'imim, maybe they refer to it as a very beautiful animal. That's the Re'im. Maybe it's the same creature, the Re'im. This
well,
the
same terminology.
And by Nosson Slifkin, in the book, he has all these animals, all these very interesting things, these pictures. He learns that the Re'im is a very beautiful creature and has very beautiful horns. Very beautiful horns. So Karnei Re'in Karnov. So here, this is a much more respectful description of the Melech, and she's switching, she's shifting very swiftly in order to do teshuvah. So now over here, Rashi says, "Kasher mikane rehisi taki says the reinim puts in the aleph." He says the word reinim. Rashi is the reinim, ani sani. So here, remember, we have to. Rashi is not learning this in reference to. Is not learning this in reference to the story of Esther. He's learning this in reference to. He's learning this
in
reference.
He's going back in time, not forward.
Right, to the story of Klal Yisrael. So he says something very important. Zecho emoiri. Asher ki goiva, arozim govhoi, shloishim v'echod milachim. There's a lot of controversial things Rashi over here is saying. Rashi, we know, he says, that's one thing I'm talking. First of all, he's saying that the Re'aim are the Emorian, the Emory. Now, Emory, from our very simple understanding, is one of seven nations of Canaan. Canaan is a very complicated collection of governments.
Wait a minute. They're on the Aver HaYarden. They're not in Eretz Canaan.
They're Sichon. Not the Aver HaYarden.
Sichon Melech. The battles of Sichon and Og were on the Aver HaYarden, not in Eretz Canaan.
And that land, Sichon. And what land is that called? Which?
Even though it's true, they are numbered like Hakdanim and Moria and so on.
Okay, but they are on the other side. Fine, okay. So that was Emori? Okay, fine. Zeho Emori, Asher, Goiva, Razim, Govoi. So that's something new that's on the other side. Shloishim v'echad melachim. Let's see what's in the Sifsei Zikainim. Let's read it. There were 31 kings. We have a printer's error because this thing doesn't make any sense. Why? Shahoya kosov lufnei hamadfis berashi zal lamid aleph milochim. I'm in the Sifsei Zikainim. In the Oisios Kitanis, the Oisios Kitanis and the Oisios Kiddush Levana.
Fourth line.
You ever hear that before? I think my Mayevsky taught that to me. There's the Oisios Kitanis and the Oisios Kiddush Levana. Why are the Oisios Kiddush Levana in contrast to the Oisios Kitanis? Because when you go say Kiddush Levana, it's very dark. So you have to have Grois letters, Oisios Kidoilas. So whenever you want to refer to big letters, it's called the Oisios Kiddush Levana. It's true, this is an expression. Didn't you tell us to me once?
Yeah.
You told us to me. Oisios Kiddush Levana. It's Groisa Oisios, because it's dark, you can't see. It's dark at night. You only have the moonlight. So when you have the Oisios Kitanis. So here we're learning the Oisios Kitanis, the smaller letters. So it was printed in the original manuscript, Lamed, double apostrophe, Aleph, Milochim, Vesavar, so the printer thought, Shu Perush Echad, it's one interpretation. Lefichach, so he did us the favor and he expanded the words. You have to add this to the collection of all the printer errors.
Okay.
There are some people, a good shiur, a collection of all the things that crept into our text that really are suggested that come from mistakes from the printers. Also, there's a lot of examples, many examples. Of this here, we have to add to the collection. Lamed Aleph Milochim V'Sava Shu Perush Echad. Look at the cover of the first. Before Rashi, you'd say Shloishim V'Echad Milochim. There were 31 kings of Eretz Yisrael. Aval, however, Habaki Bitzachus Mesek Loshin Rashi Zal. Anyone who is an expert in the purity, in the refined expression of Rashi, yeah. the sweet, pure language.
Yeah, who has an appreciation for
Rashi? Yoid will testify. She'i efshol lechavin zeh b'Rashi zah. That doesn't make any sense. Ella shetzarch lomar lamed aleph return lomar l'shoin acher. How do you like that? L'shoin acher. We have another interpretation. Acher miloch l'shoin acher milochin. When it says here, the Karnei Re'emim, either means specifically one of the seven Kenani nations, or it means the kings. It means melachim, not a nation, but rather it means all of the kings. Melachim. V'yeshnei peyushin echad. Ko'ei milas reimim. Al ho'emoiri. Either refers to the emoiri. Shemem aboi mefarosh yotzei be'omois. V'yonochi hishmatiti. Es ho'emoiri mipneihem. Hashem destroyed the nation of Emor before them. Ka'asher kegova arozim govho. The nation of Emor, they were giants. They were extremely mighty people. Extremely mighty.
Like
Sichon. Shokovash, exactly. Sichon Melech Ho'emuri. Sichon the giant.
These were Zog's twin brother.
Giants. Bigfoot.
Like, see the trees that...
Giant people. They were giants. Shokovash Moshe Rabbeinu. The Koshel Rashi. The Imkein Ho'ele Lo'eman Mikarnei Re'aim. Why? V'loi Re'aimim. So why is it V'loshim Rabim? Why, if we're only referring to the nation of Emori, who are giants, it's only one nation, so it should be Karnei Re'em. Why is there a Yud Mem which connotes the plural? V'loi Re'emim, k'mosh zohar be'omos gov hoi blosh mi'yochid. V'yoy shahoch amab re'esha mi'pi aryeh v'lo aroyos. Likely also there's an inconsistency. When it comes to the lion, there's only one lion. When it comes to the Re'em, we have a multitude of them. All of the kings of the Canaanim were compared. We're all giants. They were very mighty, or you want to compare it to the cedars. Hamelachim mishulim ka'atzei hayar. The kings are compared to the trees in the forest. Asher kigova arozim gavo. Ad kan l'shani. L'fi zeh kachu shi'ur ha'pasik. This is the meter. This is the correct way to present the pasik. Shedavr ha'melech olav ha'sholem b'kesh. Over here, Dov is speaking. Hoshi'eni mipi aryeh. Ritzen olema migolus mivuchanetzar. Aryeh is usually more often than not a code word for Nebuchadnezzar. Save me from Nebuchadnezzar. Shenikra Aryeh, Shenemar, Ola Aryeh Misivcho, from the thicket, from the forest. Kasher Mikar, just like Mikarne Re'emim Anisani. Just like you saved the Jewish people when we came into Eretz Yisrael from all of the Malchei Kenan, which were giants. So save me now from Nebuchadnezzar. Ritzel of the Kasher, Asher, and Itzan Lichbush, Kama Melachim, Lohachin, Oitzra Seyem, and to prepare from their storehouses, Lebes Hashem Kiyudua, David conquered the nations. What did David do? There's a very interesting point he's making, which is very true, but it's not always so emphasized. He's saying that when he conquered all of these kings, it was for the purpose of taking their assets and using them to build the Beis HaMikdash. It was a goal. The goal is we need some money. We need funds to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he conquered these nations, ulohachin, and to prepare Oitzroi Sehem, lebeis Hashem kayodua, v'kal lohavin. It's very easy for me to understand, not so easy for you.
You see how he uses the term kama v'kama milohim. He's deliberately being indefinite because he's correcting the error. Should be stopped, not 31.
Right, right. That's exactly the point. Lam it out, so we said. Right, exactly
so
what we're saying.
He's using comma by comma, an indeterminate number.
Right, there's no number here. Right. It, originally, he says that you go back to the Rashi, Zehoi Mori, Asher Kogoyvai Rozim, Govoi, Lishna Achrina. It says in Lamid Aleph, Lishna Achrina.
I'm just using this expression to reinforce that point.
Does the body for the base of Mikdash
need... Not necessarily 31. Common to common. We need multiple, many, many. We don't know the exact
number.
The number 31 in general is a very interesting topic. And also in Sefer Yehoshua, there's a Shira. Right. Many people, when you test them, all the Shiras, they leave out. Tell me all of the Shiras. All the Shiras in the Torah. They'll tell you, Shiras Devorah, Az Yashir, Azinu, the Etim in Sefer Koheles, Shira, this way, the Pashtisa, Shiras Be'er. They'll give you a long list, and they'll tell you the Aseret Nehamah. They'll tell you the Shira, and there's always one they leave out. the 31 kings, the 31 Malchei Canaan in Sefer Yehoshua. It's just like Aseres Nehaman, but it goes on for 31 lines. There's the S, all the 31 kings, the 31 kings of the nation of Canaan. The Lamed Aleph. So here he's saying a fascinating interpretation. Over here, it's the, when it says the word Shloshim Yachad, it's a previous error. Really, it should have said Lamed Aleph, and that meant Lishna Acharina, or Lashon Acher. It means the Melachim. When it says the Karnei Reimim, it means all of the kings of Canaan, the kings. We're not giving you a number. We're just telling you there were many kings. And Melachim, not to say, because then it doesn't make sense, because like we asked, and Mori was not 31. All of the Canaan in total was 31. So now, you have to reconcile the number 7 with the number 10 and the number 31. Because when Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, he promised him 10 nations. Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoini were part of the list. And after that, when Klal Yisrael entered, they only conquered how many? 7. 3 are missing. What happened to those 3? Who are those 3? Is that Europe? Is that Saudi Arabia? Is that Turkey? I mean, is that where is that? Is that Italy? I mean, what exactly is Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni? Is it Canada, America, and Mexico? What exactly is Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni? Jewish people were always in search of the Keni to finish the job. To find our land. What do you mean America's not our land? Of course it is. This is Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni. Hashem gave this to us. Get out of here. It belongs to the Jews. So yes, Hashem promised Abraham 10 nations. We only conquered 7 of the nations. Yet, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they found 31 kings. And the 31 kings, L'chor, are only on the west side of the Yarden, not on the east side. On the east side, there was at least the Emorim, and another nation also, right? There's another nation, there's two nations on, I don't remember. But so, how do you reconcile, good tough question, how to reconcile all the different numbers of kings, of nations, 7, 10, 31, everything needs to be put in the proper perspective. And in addition to that, there's also another principle, Chazal said, make it very, that was the story of Yerichon. Every single nation in the world had an embassy or had a vacation resort. They had their own property. Every nation of the world had a little resort in Eretz Yisrael. Lord. Chazal says, and that, how do we know that? That was the sin of Achan. When they came into Eretz for the very first time, Achan, he saw there a cloak from Bavel. It was this beautiful garment from the nation of Bavel, and some money. Why? What is Bavel? What are the Babylonians doing in Eretz? This is an ancient time. This is before Bavel became anything. They were nothing. What is? Because the king of Bavel had in Yerichoy, he had a vacation. He had a hotel. He had a villa. He had some type of a home. And when they looted and they destroyed Yerichoy, this Achan happened to be assigned to conquer this little house, this little vacation house that belonged to the Melech of Bavel. And when he came into the house, he saw this beautiful garment, and he took it for himself. And that was, how do you get a garment of Naderes? Naderes Shinar. Shinar is the Malchus of Bavel. That's one interpretation. Because Chazal on this pasuk, they tell us, it wasn't just Bavel. Every single nation in the world that's registered with the United Nations, here in Manhattan, had a vacation home somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. And part of the chait was, this is drush, part of the, why was the chait of Achan so terrible? Why was it going up in the sun? Why was it so terrible? Where did Avraham start out? In Bavel. Aram Naharayim is Bavel. And Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, Go to Eretz Yisrael. Here is the day. Vayihi Hayoyim, Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael. And what does one of the soldiers see? He sees something from Aram Naharayim. I would rather have this than Eretz Yisrael. I would rather take for myself a zecher of Aram Naharayim instead of taking Eretz Yisrael. That was a very great sin. After all this, after Hashem says to you, Lech Lecha, and he Vayehi Chayoyim, you want to go back to Bavel? I took you out of Bavel. Lech Lecha. And here you find Aderes Sinner.
What?
Shinner. Aderes Shinner. You want to go back to Bavel? Aram Naharayim after all this? That is horrific. And it was tolerated? Even though one person, Choto Yisrael, if one person, Klal Yisrael, can do such a thing, it's obviously tolerated. We got a big problem over here. And that's why it was the chait of Achan was a very grave sin. All right, so we got over here to this very interesting psukim over here. Okay, we're up to Pasuk of Gimel, so we're going to stop over here. And the Mir Tashem tomorrow, we are going to continue with Pasuk Chof Gimel. Stop Hashem. All right, take a short break. Okay, we'll talk today a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. In honor of Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, we'll talk about the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael, the Kedushas Haaretz. And then if we have time, we'll talk about the first pasuk in the parasha. Ish imoy v'aviv tirohu v'yesh shabsoisai tishmoiru.